It's just after 2. Time for the on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show on 1460 KXNO. It is a Wednesday, sports and more until 4. Andrew Downs producing, Andy Fails, and Keith Murphy. Glad to have you with us here on a beautiful day. Andy, we've already been out and about. AD was with us too. Went to the downtown Y, gave out some Iowa Wolves tickets. Season starts in about 10 days. That was fun, though. I got to tell you, I was a little uncomfortable stopping a pickup basketball game to give away the tickets because those guys look pretty serious.
Yeah, they weren't too happy about us blowing that whistle and walking into the middle of their pickup game. Yeah, we had some practice jerseys to give them, and they seemed okay with it.
Yeah. Once the jerseys and tickets were given, they're like, "Oh, okay, all right, you can stop the game for jerseys."
It's a good idea, though. Yeah. You know, go out to where the basketball fans might be.
Check it out. Find them. They were so happy with what you guys did. They gave us 2 floor seats to give away for the opener. So we have 2 floor seats to give away for next Saturday night's opener, like second row seats right there on the court.
When are we giving those away?
Right now.
Right now.
Whenever you want. It's a Wolves Wednesday.
It is a Wolves Wednesday. Okay. 284-5966. Surprise me too. We'll give away those floor seats right now. You'd like to go to Iowa Wolves first game ever opening night. They got Melo Trimble is on that team. Wes Washpin. There's a couple of familiar faces you'll know, and the phone's just exploded.
All right.
So somebody's going to sit on the floor for the Iowa Wolves.
You can look like a real high roller. We won't tell you. We won't tell your girlfriend where you got them.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Are you assuming these are all guys that have called? I hope
your significant other.
I hope a woman just won that prize. Also. It's time to give away the $1,000 Christmas bonus. Text the keyword luck to 200-200 right now for your chance to win. Standard message and data/data rates apply. So text that keyword right now. It is luck. We have had a bunch of winners over the years here at KXNO, so we're fortunate for that. We do have a winner for the Iowa Wolves floor seats, so we'll stop the calls right now. Congratulations to the winner. Who won?
You won't believe this. Chris Williams. Not the host of the Sports Fanatics. Another guy here in Des Moines named Chris Williams. That's how he said it to me. I said, what's your name? You're not going to believe this. It's Chris Williams.
There are 2 people named Chris Williams out there?
There's a guy who wins Oscars for animated movies like every other year named Chris Williams. There's actually another, like an executive within iHeartRadio that's a Chris Williams.
Make him show ID anyway down there, the one he goes to see.
I put
Gale
that on the note for Gale, yeah.
Chris Williams, our Chris Williams, is not above something like this for some sweet floor seats.
You're right about that.
All right, Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KX. Now let's start with the World Series and World Series Dodgers versus Astros, of course, in Game 1 to the Dodgers.
Here's the 1-2. He stays put, and a fly ball to left field. It's deep, back at the wall, and it's gone! A 2-run home run! Marwin Gonzalez runs out of room! Turner runs around the bases, and the Dodgers take a 3-1 lead!
Boy, that is Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers Radio Network. Good to hear Charlie Steiner, first of all.
Yeah, he's great.
Remember him on? He was one of the better Sports Center guys, too. Had that great
there
commercial.
There forever.
Follow me to freedom.
Yeah, and the Underground Railroad.
Also a guy that would constantly, but in a more endearing way, he would crack up on Sports Center, not be able to control it. I think Carl Lewis singing the national anthem may have gotten Charlie Steiner better than anybody's been gotten on that show. And I know what it's like to start laughing and not be able to stop because I've done it more than my share of times, mostly due to something Andy said. So that's Justin Turner with a home run. The Wildling continues to have just a hot postseason. Clayton Kershaw in the postseason now looks like regular season Kershaw.
Kershaw deals, full count. Springer swung on and missed, strike 3. Third time Springer's been struck out. That's the 11th strikeout for Kershaw.
11 strikeouts. He pitches 7 innings, 7 fast innings, and the Astros just could not could not solve Kershaw. One solo home run, that's it.
He looked great. I couldn't believe how hot that game. I mean, I wasn't at the game, obviously, but 103 degrees. He was drenched in sweat. 103 degrees at the end of October. I don't care if it's Los Angeles. That's unbelievable.
It's the hottest postseason game in history. Yeah, not just right. The hottest World Series game.
Period.
Hottest postseason game.
Unbelievable. But Clayton Kershaw has been such an anomaly. He's been so totally dominant in the regular season and has been so not himself in the postseason. He's riding his ship though this year.
He's
silencing his doubters. But I understand that right now it is fashionable to stand up for Clayton Kershaw and look like you're coming to his defense, and you know he's not as bad as everybody's made him out to be. I don't know if they think that he's gonna send him some money or something. But if he really rightfully was criticized for his post seasons in the past.
He was giving up about twice as many runs.
I think
as
the Cardinals beat him every single time that they faced him.
Yeah, it wasn't
a
made
whole bunch
up,
of times.
It wasn't
yeah.
a made up
no,
story.
It was
real. It was real.
And it was just incredible because he was so dominant in the regular season.
As good
and
as anybody's been
right,
in the
and
modern
then the
era.
Yeah, yeah. And very often it seems like it goes the opposite direction. The big game players will take it up a notch in the postseason, particularly pitchers who can almost single-handedly win a series by themselves. He just hasn't had that, but man, he was great last night. I can't help but wonder, though, what Bob Feller's probably rolling over in his grave. I mean, one earned run, three hits, 11 strikeouts, and they pull him after seven. What? I'd have pitched all night.
Did his arm fall off?
Bob Gibson would have kicked Red Shandy's ass if he had even taken a step out of his dugout if he had a line like that going. Obviously, a totally different age.
It is. We'll see it go these days. Like Verlander last week when the Astros had to have it, they left him in and he finished it. One of the games. These days, if a guy goes all the way, it's because he won't come out and he feels, or the team feels so desperate that they don't want to risk the bullpen. Otherwise,
it's the first game
out
of the series. It's 100 degrees outside. I mean, they have this amazing bullpen. I mean, they have all the reasons in the world. It's just, through the annals of baseball history, that dominant ace starting pitcher has not had to answer to anybody on that team. I mean, he's like the captain of the team. He calls his own shots. But it's a totally different era, obviously.
3-1 Dodgers, the final, and it only took 2 hours and 28 minutes.
How about that?
That is the shortest World Series game in 25 years.
That is more than an hour under the average this postseason.
It doesn't. It's starting pitchers who worked quickly. Because there were
a lot of strikeouts.
It wasn't a 1-0 game. A lot of strikeouts. There weren't a lot of foul balls. And maybe, there were little things that add up, too. Like, there weren't endless replays. And if you're watching the Cubs, Wilson Contreras walking out to the pitcher is like every other pitch.
Yeah, this was great. It was still dramatic. There was still drama there. It still felt like the pageantry of the World Series. He had great performances on both sides. And yet, you could go to bed at 10 o'clock knowing who won the game. It was fantastic.
Yeah, kids could even watch this game in most of the country. So, yeah, it was fantastic to see, and it shows it is possible. Ratings are down 20% versus game one last year. That is not a surprise, and I don't think it's any indictment on the Astros, Dodgers, as teams or as a series of interest. You just had a once-in-a-generation story with the Cubs being so much more than baseball and what it meant for the Cubs to try to win the World Series last year compared to 2 years ago in the Royals World Series, down about 4%. So
this is down from the Royals?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep,
that's hard to believe.
But television overall just continues to have a little bit of erosion across the board just because especially young people, they watch.
They just can't get off their phone.
Yeah, they watch sports as much as they used to. As far as they watch the same sports, they just watch less than they used to because shorter attention spans.
But doesn't that still count in the ratings if they just watch a little?
Yeah, but the rating goes by how many people are watching in any given 15-minute period.
Well, so I think if they're coming and going.
Yeah, okay. That does count against. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Looking at the football season here and just looking back to some of what I thought, and I think I tend to be overly optimistic and sometimes maybe overly hopeful or downright homerism at times, but I was looking at what I had picked at the beginning of the season. I had Iowa at 8-4, which I don't think is going to happen. But I thought the Hawks would be 5-2 at this point, and they're 4-3, which is just a game off. I had ISU 6-6, which I think the Cyclones will do better than that. But I thought they'd be 4-3 at this point, and they're 5-2, so that's just one game off. You know, like what I was thinking in my own head. And that's after my before season projections. I actually flipped my pick in the Iowa State game, which ended up being wrong. Before the season, as I was just kind of guessing what would happen, I had picked Iowa. But then as the game got here, I picked Iowa State, which ended up being a wrong pick. So I don't think we're that far from what we thought, but it kind of feels like
it's just happened in a different way, I think. Yeah, obviously, yeah. Nobody picked the Oklahoma game for Iowa State. But a lot of people thought that they would beat Texas.
Right.
That was a popular pick. So they just kind of flip-flopped those two games. And then, I mean, you flip-flop those two games, and I think there are a lot of people out there that probably feel like they're right on. They're being optimistic. They think that they could go to Texas Tech and win.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were a little bit pessimistic about the Iowa game, and they thought that Iowa would win that game. They're being, well, realistic, I think. They're right on right now. Yeah, saw the game last year. Absolutely. They're right on right now. And so they're not surprised, which is weird because this feels like a really surprising year. But again, you're just looking at the record as opposed to the way they got to that record.
Right. And the fact that this football team at Iowa State through seven games looks good. I mean, like, legitimately
look like
top
they're
25,
too.
Really yeah. good, figuring mm-hmm. things out, getting better. The defense is way better than anyone expected. It's for the past 10 quarters, averaging giving up 2 points a quarter in the Big 12 conference. I think the team is just, you can see, it passes the eye test of that is a good football team.
Well, and you know, I think one of the other things is the fact that they made some substantial changes, one in particular at the quarterback position. They made that substantial change, and since that change, they've played their best football, right? So you think, you look at that, and you believe that the team is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
It made a shift. It saw something. Clearly, in the play calling, that's changed too, but they saw something. They made a change there. They had, you know, really the quarterback situation just kind of forced on them, but they did make the change there. And they decided to go with Kyle Kemp, which ends up looking like genius. And since those substantial changes, they have been playing their best football. So I think people look at that, and that gives them an added boost of confidence because you're looking at you got a smoking gun, right? I mean, you can look at those changes, point to those with your finger, and say, "Aha, that's why we're playing well." It's not because another team, their opponent, is screwing up. It's not because of, you know, crazy fluke turnovers that have gone your way. I mean, you made some big changes, and those changes have paid off. And you've looked at it and said, okay, they're better at the quarterback position. They're using more receivers. Those passes are better thrown. They're incorporating David Montgomery more. And Joel Lanning, in whatever spot we've put him in, has continued to improve. He's found a spot in right. the offense, and he keeps getting better in linebacker.
And I got our first email this week to Sound Off. Maybe you saw it, where somebody said, "Hey, Murph, what do you think? I now think if Kyle Kemp had been the quarterback at the start of the season, we're 7-0 right now." You know, and I knew that email would come in, but a couple of things prior to the Texas game, Jacob Park had been playing well. And he was a guy that I thought of as the most indispensable player mm-hmm. on the team. Now, he was a mess against Texas mentally and mechanics, but he played well against Iowa, made the one mistake, mm-hmm. the pick,
which
when he misread.
Didn't hurt them all that.
Yeah,
he cost him 3 points.
But he did. He did play really well.
Played
in that
really
game,
well,
and he was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Kemp, the intangibles, the leadership, the whatever. It could be coincidence. I'm guessing it's not. The chemistry on the team seems like it's improved, and I get why a Cyclone fan or three might think, well, what if Kemp had been here from the start? But this is,
I mean, legitimately, there are a few plays away.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, that's impossible to go back and have any accuracy there in hindsight. But you could make an argument for the fun of it and say that there are a few plays away potentially from being undefeated. Now, it's not just the same guy making those plays. It's, you know, a whole team. But, you know, though, overall, I mean, this season, when is the last time Iowa State has had two quarterbacks in one season look very good? Very, like, legitimately good. It's been a while.
Yeah,
that tells you that
usually one is coming in because the other is.
Or
not
one comes in, he's good for a game. You get your hopes up, and then things come crashing back to the ground. But it tells you that the coaching is there.
Yeah, AD, Hawkeye fans, I think are down because of how poorly the team played at Northwestern. The defense played pretty well without its best player, but I think hopes were high and then reinforced in the Iowa State game that this offense was going to be different, more unpredictable, was going to score points, was going to really feature Akram Wadley, and for reasons beyond just the play calling, in a couple of bad Big Ten road losses, that has not happened.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Expectations change as the season goes on,
sure.
Right? So you may have had Iowa at 4-3 in this point, but you certainly thought Northwestern would be a very good team. You know, people thought Northwestern might vie for the Big Ten West. They don't seem to be that team right now. So going to Northwestern and losing that type of a game after a bye week makes you feel worse than it would have at the beginning of the season. You come out of that Penn State game and think, hey, if we can stand toe-to-toe with the number 4 team in the country, we can beat anybody. And then it kind of has fallen apart a little bit since then. Even the Illinois game, it got ugly late, but at halftime, that was a toss-up. And you're exactly right. After that Iowa State game, it felt like, I think this Iowa State offense is high-powered enough to hang in the Big 12, and Iowa just outscored them. So we're going to outscore a lot of teams in the Big 10, and that just hasn't happened. I mean, what, 10 points at Northwestern is terrible.
Yeah, and to be fair, Michigan State is better than we expected.
Yes, absolutely.
That happened. We have a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Yeah, which fan base is more surprised by its team's record so far? Iowa's or Iowa State's? Go to KXNO.com, the Murph and Andy show page, or on Twitter, Facebook, across the Murph and Andy platforms to vote.
I think we just gave all the reasons why these records, both of them, are probably not as surprising as it feels. But I think the answer is more Iowa State's, just because it's mentally hard to not think of one of those wins being at Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, it's clearly Iowa State for me. I didn't think that they would win 5 games this season, and I'm genuinely surprised by the whole thing. Very happy about it, but you know, Iowa, I think you could be a very smart Iowa fan and think that they're 4-3 at this point in the season. Maybe it didn't look that way, but you think, you know, they're going to lose to Penn State because Penn State's so good. And, you know, Michigan State and Northwestern, those are kind of toss-up games. You don't know. You feel like you're going to win some, lose some of those. And maybe since they're both on the road, you picked against them.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. The actor, Robert Guillaume.
Benson.
Yeah, Benson. Most famously known as Benson.
I only know him from one show. That's Sports Night.
Yeah, and Sports Night, mm-hmm. in the making of that underrated show, written by Aaron Sorkin, based on he did research at SportsCenter back when SportsCenter was a very different show than it is now. But Robert Guillaume, in the making of that of Sports Night, toward the end had a stroke, but they worked it into the plot and continued to be on the show. And the show didn't do ratings, and it ended up being canceled. But instead of Benson, I in honor of Robert Guillaume's passing, he gave one of my favorite speeches on the underrated show, Sports Night, and it is about trust.
Not fitting in is how qualified people lose jobs.
Yeah, but a lot of the time, it's how they end up working here. Now, you had an obligation to tell us how you felt. Partly because I don't like getting a phone call saying I put one of my people in the hospital, but mostly because if you feel that strongly about something, you have a responsibility to try and change my mind. Did you think I would fire you simply because you made a convincing argument? It's taken me a lot of years, but I've come around to this. If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you. You're gonna do great here. But you gotta trust us. You fit in on your own time. When you come to work for me, you show up to play. You don't know us very well. So if it's hard trusting us at the beginning, maybe it'll help to know that we trust you.
Yeah, he's the boss you want to work for. And that whole thing is about this producer on Sports Night had been assigned to a hunting story. And he was opposed to hunting. He didn't like it. It made him uncomfortable. And he didn't speak up and say anything. And leads to that speech on trust.
That show was ahead of its time, I think. Oh,
it's a great show.
I think it only was two seasons, but the second season, they don't have a laugh track. And I think that threw people off in the 90s, like a 30-minute sitcom without a laugh track. And then it wasn't always funny. It was kind of a... It wasn't a pure comedy. It was like a dramedy. And yeah, it was, again, yep. I think if that show comes out on Netflix right now, it's a hit.
I agree. And it's one of the few television shows I have the whole thing on DVD, although these days I don't ever put a DVD in. You guys what use your DVDs? I know you have
all
hundreds.
The time.
You do? You do
all
put DVDs
time.
In?
I do just for the kids' movies.
It's just
movies.
Too easy to stream. You know? Yeah,
I do it occasionally.
But you're right. I have several movies on DVD that I'll search Netflix and HBO before I go find the DVD and pop it in. Like, if it's here, it's here.
Also, we learned of the death of Fats Domino.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Now, he was 89, and I will confess, and some of you have pointed it out, that I immediately thought he was much younger than that, but that's Chubby Checker, right? Fats Domino.
Chubby Checker is the one who...
He sings the twist.
Yeah, he is the one who is much younger than you think. And
I get it wrong.
You don't remember it from year to year.
Every year, because
Fats Domino
details well.
Is shorter than you think.
Really?
How tall?
I think, you're giving me a hint.
Yeah,
there,
I know. He's short.
So with Afro, I would have gone, 5'9", 5'10".
5'4".
Oh, wow.
5'4".
Wow, he's like down there.
The Domino is not a real tall thing.
It's also thinner than you think. I have no idea if that's true.
Yeah, me either. Instead of trying to figure out who died, let's play Guess Whose Birthday, and it is presented by Rockstar Satellite of Des Moines.
Yeah, let's find out who was born. Andy, guess whose birthday? I know when that hotline bling. That can
only mean one thing. I don't know who that is.
Gosh.
I don't know that song.
It's your boy. It's Drake.
It's Drake. Okay.
It's your school.
Drake is 31.
Drake is 31. Well done.
Man, come on.
Murph,
don't know the song,
birthday.
Know the age. I got the eye of the tiger. That is Katy Perry.
It is.
There's a photo of Katy Perry getting some attention today. It's really? Like
where she crashed the wedding.
Google quickly.
No, this is Ellen DeGeneres kind of like making a really suggestive facial expression toward Katy Perry's breasts.
Oh.
And a lot of people are saying, I just want to understand the rules. If you're gay, it's okay to oogle like that and have an inappropriate picture, just trying to figure out the rules. You know where we are right now.
I don't think that's... The rule is if they're okay with it.
That's the rule?
If the other person is okay with it.
All right.
Right, and you're not harassing them. Harassing is the key.
Yeah, I have a feeling Ellen's not the first person to ogle Katy Perry's chest.
I have a feeling they're friends.
Oh, they're friends.
Yeah, so she's not harassing her.
No, there's a difference between harassment. I think this is being couched more as an inappropriate photo.
I don't think that's an inappropriate photo.
Okay, so if Jimmy Kimmel does that photo with her?
If they're friends?
Yeah, she's fine with it.
If they're friends and she's fine with it,
you don't think it'd get any attention if there's a photo of, like, say, Jimmy Fallon like that? Like,
it might get some attention.
I don't think
this is getting
attention, though.
Yeah. Giving, okay. back on point here. Katy Perry is 31.
She is 33, so that's a miss, and somehow Andy has the lead. Andy, guess whose birthday?
He's the head coach, Notre Dame. He's joining us. How was the summer, Coach?
Dan, it went by quickly.
Brian Kelly?
It is.
I don't really know how old he is. Brian Kelly is 53.
He's 56, so that's a miss. Murph, you get them both here, you win. Guess whose birthday?
Comedian received an emotional goodbye from Jon Stewart last year on The Daily Show. A longtime correspondent took her comedic talent to TBS. She now presents her own weekly news satire show, Full Frontal.
Samantha Bee.
It is.
Samantha Bee is 50.
She's 48, and Andy has the tiebreaker.
That's a hard-to-take loss there. That's a
tough one.
Call in now for the three-point play if you'd like a shot at the Cryo Vitality gift card, 284-5966, 284-KXNO, and a Hump Day Stupid Quickie Poll.
For three. He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the three-point play.
Time for the three-point play on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460-KXNO. Brought to you by Cryo Vitality in Clive and Ankeny.
You get a swallow of that apple there,
Mark? Yeah, jeez.
It was too much to try for one commercial break. All right.
It's good to learn your boundaries, right?
I just learned something. Steve, see if you can name this sports voice.
Yeah, I told him I felt great, but you know, with our bullpen, it doesn't matter. So I told him I was good to go, but how can you argue with what BMO and Kenley are doing back there? And they proved it tonight once again.
Steve, who is that?
That's Clayton Kershaw.
You got that right. Name this
singer.
Singer.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long.
Steve, you got this.
I don't think I do.
Really?
See, I brain farted on that one, too.
You
one
did?
Time. Yeah,
is
back
it because
in the day.
Of how young the sound
no,
is?
No, I know exactly who that is. Okay. I just had a total cramp.
All right, Steve, you punting?
It's not Stevie Wonder, is it?
In fact, it is.
If your name's Steve, man, you can't miss that one.
That well done there, Steve. You're close. Name this movie or television show.
From now on, you're Gomer Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Do you think I'm cute, Private Pyle? Do you think I'm funny?
Sir, no, sir.
Then wipe that disgusting grin off your face.
Sir, yes, sir.
Steve?
All I could think about was Gomer Pyle, but I don't think it's the Andy Griffith Show.
No, it is definitely not the
Platoon. I don't know.
That's not a bad guess.
No, it's not a bad guess. I just watched this a few weeks ago with Cade. Boy, it's good. Man, it's hard to watch at times. Aaron, do you know that movie?
Full Metal Jacket.
Where to your mother?
It is Full Metal Jacket. Really, it's it is two movies, kind of. It's like 2 1-hour movies.
The first movie, the first half, is my favorite half. I like that. It's fascinating, the up close look at boot camp in that era. But the second half is also that's real. I mean that's just a fantastic movie. I mean, it really gives you the saying "war is hell." You know that it's just said over and over again. That's about war as hell.
Puts you in it. It shows you what it's like.
Dehumanizing hell.
The boot camp, and I've seen the movie enough to know what was going to happen. But at first, the Matthew Modine character, he's so helpful to Pyle, who is clearly slow.
Joker.
Joker is helpful to Pyle, and he's
kind of a leader.
Teaching him, he's being a leader. But the more they get punished for Pyle not catching on, the more the resentment builds up, and then it takes that turn you don't expect where he's part of the group that just beats him.
Loses their mind. Oh, yeah, when he turns on him, and you see, I mean, Pyle should have just been removed.
Yes.
Right. Instead, he turns into a target.
Ooh, yeah.
Take out their frustrations on him.
Man, that is a rough one. All right, we have a Hump Day Stupid Quickie Poll, courtesy of Deadspin. Andy, why do we need to know the second best pickle?
Well, because, you know, this is just something that we need to know about our audience.
So is this pickle or just something that is pickled?
I think you can say both.
Okay.
I mean, a pickle technically is not just a cucumber. It's something that's pickled.
Really?
There's a pickling process.
It's
cucumber. That's how you preserve something.
Okay, so a pickle, as I think of it, is a pickled cucumber.
Yeah.
That is not technically a pickle.
Or a cucumber pickle. Yes.
Yeah, anything pickled is a pickle.
Yeah, anything, yeah.
It's the most common one is the cucumber.
Cooked in that salty, acidic brine to preserve it. I mean, that's a pickling process. You pickle it, you can it, and then it keeps rolling.
We screwed up our boy Sean Roberts' day today on Twitter because when he saw this, he said, wait.
I'll bet.
A pickle isn't just a pickle?
Well, but that's really the only type that you see. But as we know, being friends with Murph.
Yeah.
Well,
there are other types of pickles, and I mean, you do probably eat a lot more pickles than you realize.
I feel like Sean Roberts here, though. I think of a pickle as a cucumber.
Yeah, but you got Sean. Sean didn't know that a pickle was a cucumber. He just thought
you knew that there were pickled eggs, right? And pickled pig's feet and that stuff.
Yes,
so
of course,
yeah. And you're pushing this poll in a different direction here. The poll's not going to be what's a pickle and what's not.
Right.
What's your second favorite pickle?
Yeah, the poll, what's the second best pickle?
Is it second best.
Eggs, jalapenos, beets, or green beans?
Well,
and there are all kinds of other pickled things.
I love pickling because I love all of these. I mean, green beans aren't my favorite unless they're pickled.
Then dilly beans, those are incredible. They're great.
I love pickled beets.
Oh, love them too.
I mean,
love
them. Fantastic. Jalapenos I love in any form, especially pickled.
If you have jalapenos on your nachos at the ball game and then you're eating jalapeno pickles.
That's great, but this is a runaway winner.
It's eggs.
Pickled eggs, and I have trouble finding them.
I try to bring them to you whenever I see them.
You're very nice about that, because Jenny never finds them. Or maybe
they're hard to find. But
maybe she doesn't want to.
they're not just anywhere, but I will say I have never tried one.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I don't know why, mostly because I just want to give them to you. Might as well not open the jar, give you a nice complete jar. I mean, you don't want a jar of pickled eggs with one missing egg. That's not right.
I'll take it, though, if that's my option. I love pickled eggs.
Yeah, I can't get them for you for Christmas anymore. Andy got mad at me last year.
Yeah, I know.
Double up.
Yeah.
You guys double up.
Encroached on my idea.
It's easy.
It's like giving you a Mounds bar with only half of it.
I'm okay if it's a pickled egg.
With the open end.
Let's get some more on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO.
It's time KXNO. Now for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. This is General Manager Tim Bowes, and I can assure you, no dealer in Central Iowa gives you more than Lithia Volkswagen. For now, back to Murph and Andy.
That's Tim Bowes, and today is Tim Bowes' birthday.
Happy birthday,
Tim. Happy birthday, big guy.
All way right. To call your shot.
Phew,
maybe don't call it so well next time. Somebody'd like to win that detail. Well.
The new Toyota and Mazda plant will not be located here in Iowa. I guess Iowa, we made a hard pitch for that thing. They're going to put it over in Cedar Rapids. They're not going to do that. Hopefully it's, they didn't pick us because of something we wouldn't something like we wouldn't bend over and hand them all the tax incentives they wanted, and not just because they didn't like us.
All right.
I don't like Iowa. I don't like Iowa. You don't want to hear that, right?
No.
Like something, we took a principled stand and they ran away, right? And that's what you want to hear. I have no idea exactly. They won't say exactly why they didn't give it to Iowa, but they're not giving it to Iowa. We did make the finalists, though. There were 11 finalists. Forbes magazine has released its list of highest paid magicians. Highest paid magicians. Peep this out. David Copperfield makes, in the last calendar year, he made $61.5 million. That's unreal.
That's more than I expected, but those Vegas entertainers who have the residencies, they make a fortune because, the tickets are $100 to $500 every night, and they do well every night, so they make so much money.
Well, he is number one with a bullet because Penn and Teller are second. At $30 million. And I assume they have to split it, right?
Yeah, I wonder if the guy who doesn't talk gets less.
Well, I would think so. He's also quite a bit smaller. But second place is half of what first place has. David Copperfield is killing it. Gee, David Coppermine. 30 years ago today, I am at the U2 concert at the St. Louis Arena. And while it's a sold-out show, the crowd does go a little dead when word of this gets around.
To Gaetti, for the first time ever, the Minnesota Twins are the world champions.
Twins beat the Cardinals in 7 games. 1987 World Series.
I'm a little bit surprised that you went ahead to the concert when this developed as a Game 7.
Yeah, it was also, I do remember this World Series, the home team won every game, felt like it was slipping away from the Cardinals in after Game 6, and that was we had those tickets for a long time. That was the Joshua Tree tour.
Yeah, that was the one, that was the one I just saw.
Hot ticket. And so I did go, but they had these little tiny TVs up in the luxury boxes, the few of the luxury boxes they had, and people were trying to get a glimpse of those. Now, the year before that, here's what happened on this day.
So the winning run is at second base with 2 out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
Yeah, it's the Bill Buckner game, Game 6, 1986 World Series. The Mets go on to win that one. The World Series was more of an event then. That's just all there is to it. It was more of a national event. Everybody remembers. I mean, they remembered every detail from those World Series. That was it. It was the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was the national focus. It was. I mean, there were a few covers of Sports Illustrated that came out then.
Yeah, if you were alive and past the age of 10. For that game, you do remember it. I mean, if you're a sports fan, not just a baseball fan, but a sports fan, that was the talk of the country.
Even if you were in a baseball town like St. Louis and your team wasn't in it, that was still what everybody was talking about the next day was the World Series game the night before.
Yeah, it was a
different age.
It was.
This day in 1983, this happened. Let's go to NBC News.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tom Brokaw, NBC News in New York, and here is the latest situation as we now know it on the island of Grenada, which is a tiny island, as you know, in the Southern Caribbean. It has been invaded by a multinational force, as it's being described. The bulk of that force, about 1,800 American troops.
We invaded Grenada. That thing was over in like 20 minutes. And that was one of the very, very few, and albeit small, military conflicts of the Reagan years. All 8 years. There wasn't any. That's so hard to fathom now that you would go that long with nothing.
Yeah.
With no big military conflicts.
Sounds pretty
good. The
United
States.
Yeah, it was Cold War instead of actual war.
Yeah, it was just kind of a slow
melting
chess match, right? And a big part of the presumed success of his presidency is due to the fact the U.S. did a really good job of just staying home during those 8 years. Think about it. Presidents Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Bush II, Obama, and now Trump are all bogged down with wars.
Yeah, and like
the
last 1, 2, 3, maybe last 4 presidents have all thought going into office that they would be able to get out of Afghanistan and end, you know, the wars over there, to end our presence over there, and then they get in and they realize how much more complicated it is than
the last 2 presidents
at least. I mean, how far is
Afghanistan?
That go back?
Afghanistan started in George W. Bush. So 2.
Well, 3, because Trump said the same thing. He said he'd get us right out of
there. Well, so Obama and Trump thought that they could go in and end it.
Well, and Bush, I think Bush felt like
he started it. Well, he didn't start it, but he thought he could end it. Yeah, okay, yeah, so three presidents in a row thought they'd be able to end it. Yeah, yeah.
Four terms.
You're absolutely right.
4 terms,
yeah. You're absolutely right.
16 years.
Yes, right. It's hard. And finally... boy, this just whacked me over the head with a shovel. The torch has been lit for the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang.
That means we're 100 days away.
Yes.
That's the lighting.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The Olympics are in 100 days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The torch was lit.
That's nuts.
I'm not excited enough about this. Somebody's got to light the torch under my butt, I think. I mean, really? What, aren't we excited about the Winter Games? It's 100 days away. No.
No.
No crickets, no. Everything? I mean, what is the problem? I mean, how much of the problem is the fact that it seems like the Olympics are now as much of a, like a door prize as they are a grand prize?
Well, Winter Olympics always less interesting than summer, too.
Yes, but they're still the Olympics. But, I mean, now even the Summer Olympics, though, it's like we're almost to the point of saying, will you please host the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. Because of the Winter Olympics. Because of the ruins that many of the
money,
places are after the Olympics have been there.
And this is going to be half a world away.
It's still cool while it's going on, but to me these days, it really... So much of it matters if it's live as you're seeing it,
which this can't possibly be.
But it does matter less in the Winter Olympics because when's the last time you were on Twitter and you got like a downhill skiing result? I mean,
I don't think this is going to be the first time.
Yeah, there's no spoilers.
South Korea, and plus there's the whole Korean thing going on. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm not prepared. I need
how many
more
countries
time.
Have withdrawn, or have they?
I don't know. I didn't realize it was 100 days.
Are you ready for Lolo Jones' bobsledding stories?
She's still doing that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I need more time. 100 days is not enough. I need them to run around, do a couple extra laps around the world.
That's going to do it for more. We will be back with Throwdowns on the Murph and Andy Show.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down. Andy, some big-name college football programs may be looking for a new head coach after this season. Of these four jobs, which may be opening up, Florida, Nebraska, Tennessee, and Arkansas, which is most appealing?
I mean, you know, they're going to come with a lot of pressure, and we probably don't know exactly what that pressure looks like. Murph might with Florida a little bit more, but I would say Florida would be the most appealing just because, I mean, you're right in the middle of recruiting Central. You have good recent history. I don't think that Florida State is unbeatable in that state. I mean, Florida, I would say, is still the most popular team down there. Seems like a sleeping giant that would be pretty easy to resurrect. I mean, it's still the SEC. It's really difficult, but that looks good. Arkansas is a really good job too. It is. I mean, it is kind of its own little piece of the country there. It has a very loyal fan base. It's not far away from recruiting hotbeds. It should be a lot better than it is. Kind of an unrealistic fan base, but still a really good job. But that's not as good as Florida. I put Florida number one there.
I think these are good jobs. I'd put Tennessee number one. Just because Florida is odd in that in the state of Florida, there are so many transplants. 70% of the people in the state of Florida don't care at all about the college football team. So it's a different vibe than Nebraska, Tennessee, or Arkansas, although it does have the recruits and the resources more than those other three. Tennessee has that fantastic atmosphere and doesn't fight the history really that Nebraska does, and Arkansas, you have to live in the state of Arkansas. So I think I'd go with Tennessee.
All right, Murph, the Bears are 2-1 since naming Mitchell Trubisky the starting quarterback, and even though he isn't putting up big numbers, the team seems to be responding. Do you give John Fox credit for making the change or blame for waiting 5 games to do so?
Picking one, the blame. He was too stubborn. It was clear a change needed made, and if he was going to take this ground of Trubisky just shouldn't play as a rookie, then he needed to ride that out the whole season. To wait until the season was basically kind of collapsing on itself and then making the change, it was too late.
I'll just be taking a guess here, but I mean, you look back with hindsight, and then of course you think he should have made the change earlier if you think that Trubisky has been this much better. But I'm sure he went into that with a very good reason. He didn't want to hurt the kid too early. Maybe he thought he would get more from the other guy than he actually did, and wanted to, you know, stick with it a little while, and didn't want to throw the kid into an unwinnable situation. But I don't know how you could look back now and say that you don't think that they would have had a better chance with this kid starting earlier.
The temperature will get near triple digits again today in L.A. where the World Series is taking place. Would you rather attend a baseball game on a sunny 100-degree day or an overcast 40-degree day?
It's not close. Sunny and 100 degrees. That's hot. Your beer gets cold really, really fast. But I've done that. I mean, Busch Stadium, geez, back when they had the AstroTurf fields back in the 80s, as late as the 90s, the field itself, if the better your seats, the closer to the field you were, the hotter you were. It was well over 100 degrees down there. It was 120 degrees down on the field. So I've been to plenty of those games, and yeah, it's really, really hot, but you deal with it. There are beverages.
Kansas City has taught me that it can be too hot, but I don't think this is it. Sunny 100-degree day. I might be influenced here by how much I know I'm going to miss warmth here in the next few months in the state of Iowa. But I'd pick the 100-degree day. It just feels more like baseball weather than when you're bundled up. When you're bundled up at a World Series game, it feels like you should be watching football more than baseball. I think we just think of baseball as a summer sport, and 100 degrees feels like summer.
All right, the poll is up on Twitter at @Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
It is ready for hour number two here. We are ready for hour number two on the Murph and Andy Show. We got Trending Iowa coming up next. Tommy Burch will be in studio. You've been warned. We also have Play of the Day coming up. Mr. Movie will be here. We'll get your recommendations on the hashtag Mr. Movie of a movie that you think probably most people haven't seen, but you feel like if they did see it, they would enjoy it. That's all coming up in hour number two right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.